Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Police in Louisville, Kentucky, have released the body cam footage video from Monday's shooting at a bank. Five people were killed.
When the first two officers arrive, they immediately hear the gunshots.
Stop right here. Back up.
The two officers leave their vehicle and carefully approach the bank. They quickly realize the dangerous situation.
He's shooting straight through these windows. Right?
One of the officers, Nicholas Wilt, was shot. That was not shown. He remains in critical condition. Eventually, the suspect is shot and killed.
Suspect down! Get the officer!
Steve Futterman, CBS News.
A fire at a storage facility in Richmond, Indiana, had people either evacuating or staying in place. Officials say the owner of the facility had been ordered to clean up the site because it was a fire hazard. Fire Department Chief Tim Brown.
The battalion chief on today, he was very frustrated when he pulled up because we knew it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when this was going to happen.
President Biden has a full schedule on his first full day in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. CBS News White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy is traveling with him.
After a speech at Ulster University on the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, the president departs Northern Ireland for the Republic. First stop is the county where his great-grandfather James Finnegan was born in 1840. Alongside his son Hunter and sister Valerie, the president will tour a 12th-century Irish castle and take in some of the sites.
The FBI has issued a warning that hackers can use USB ports to infect your phone while it's charging at public charging stations. Tech expert Josh Barnes.
You don't know what's inside of that. You don't know what cord they're using. There's a lot of unknowns there. It can copy that data automatically, keep it on its computer, and someone can take that information and transfer it remotely to their computer.
The FBI says it's best to carry your own charger and USB cord and use a standalone electrical outlet. Schools in Florida are pulling more books off the shelves, including one very well-known book, says CBS's Monica Ricks.
A high school in Vero Beach, Florida, is pulling a visual adaptation of Anne Frank's diary. Deborah Caldwell Stone is director of the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom.
This is how, as readers, we gain empathy and understanding for individuals like Anne who are going through enormous challenges.
Conservative parents claim sections of the diary were too sexually explicit and not age-appropriate.
California's governor says drought conditions have ended in much of the state. Gavin Newsom has ended some of the state's water restrictions because of a winter of relentless rain and snow that's replenished the state's reservoirs and has eased fears of a shortage after 3 years of severe drought. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place.
If you're living with chronic pain and have yet to find relief, Select Pain Care of Milwaukee may be able to help. Select Pain Care specializes in helping those that have had their pain for more than 6 months and have tried three or more healthcare providers with minimal relief. Find out if Select Pain Care can help you. Call 414-939-5045. That's 414-939-5045. Or log on at selectpaincare.com.
Don't settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring. Choose Straight Edge Flooring for quality and personalized service. A family-owned flooring company, they offer full-service flooring solutions from material to install, including on-site dust-free refinishing. Straight Edge Flooring installers are CFI certified and fully insured with free in-home consultations to simplify your project. Choose Straight Edge Flooring. Log on straightedgewi.com. That's straightedgewi.com or call 414-779-8931 and make your vision a reality.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
My former boss, George Stanley, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I've told you the story of that. My brother and I are fighting over who's going to get our tickets. I think I have claim because I live here.
Exactly.
Right? He's older, but I live here.
Yeah, but that trumps it.
So. It's been decided now. It's done.
I'll tell my parents. That's even more.
You can let him go to one game if he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It ain't a two for Tuesday, not exactly, because Dom's doing Italy. And Crudy's flying solo. Well, that's not entirely true. I got Ebone here with me in the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX, Madison, Wisconsin. Ebone, lightly screening your calls all day long. Just a little bit. A skosh. And you can join us. And I'm going to need your help today. I'm not exactly flying solo because you're going to join me on the phones at 844-967-2789. And also, a friend of the devil's, John Nichols. And Ebon, I don't know if you know, late ask for John Nichols. It's been a busy day around here, but I was reading the headlines at the Capital Times here locally, where John is the associate editor. And John is declaring Scott Walker the biggest loser of the spring elective cycle. And I read no further. I just dialed John and said, John, please, let's Walker bash a little bit today. We'll share with you. John joining at 4:30. Can't wait. And I mentioned, you know, Dom's gone, probably in no small part, a planned vacation. But it's moving day. It's moving day for Mad Radio. We're moving. You know, the announcer's been telling you guys for a while. Broadcasting live from State Street. Not exactly true. Not yet. Getting there. Move today. At least the administrative offices and all the functionality and all the furniture, mostly, except the studio, we moved into the new space, 200 State Street, right down above the Comedy Club on State and across from the Overture Center, Dayton and State Street. I'm feeling great about being on State, radio on State, feeling great. So we are living through a little bit of chaos in the shortest of run. And Dom saw that as a good time to exit stage left.
Just going
to
duck out for a little bit.
So him and the beautiful Mrs. Salvi, I hope they have a wonderful romantic trip to Italy. And I will be envious of them the entire time. But let me ask you. Ebon, I suspect you're still a younger guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Moving day. Are you still in the get a pickup truck?
100%. 100%.
And call six of your former best friends.
One of them shows up, you know, and then over 2 days, it's always 2 days, you move your entire life from one place to another. And it's exhausting. I'm
two
over
days,
it.
2 days. No, never 2 days. Not see, and
it's
world.
Just, it. We never move more than 7 or 8 miles. That's part of it.
You can't move in stages, man. You can't move in leaps and starts and carloads and armfuls. That's a horrible way to move. I know, I've done it many times, but it's a horrible way to move out there in the world. I'd also be curious. We're going to talk about some of the political headlines of the day. But today was moving day. Not the worst move that I've ever experienced. Actually, Mad City Movers here in Madison, pretty impressed with the service we got. Second time they've moved our company. Strangely, second time they've moved my company in like 18 months. We moved in here like 18 months ago, E-Bone growing. It was Devil Radio back
then. I'm going to miss this place.
Well, we're not going to miss it yet. We're still broadcasting from here.
True.
Still building out the engineering at the downtown studios, but the office structure is up and running. And I got to tell you, maybe it's my propensity to want to move every item in the house or the office, because I've been a small business owner for a number of years, and I've moved those as well. It's no more fun, no easier. You know, instead of calling up your friends, at least you can encourage the staff, please, at least pack your desks. You know, you're not fired unless you fail to pack your desk. Then you might be fired. Pack your desk. Most do. Everyone did. In fact, I was the guy with the armloads of crap this morning. The mover gave me a big box. He's like, you know, put your loose items here. He says it with, you know, not disdain, but a little disdain, because I'm making his life tougher. But I get this bright idea. When my wife and I and our kids were still small then, when we moved into our current house in Middleton, and I hired like a couple of guys with the truck, and they have a name, you know, something similar to that. And somehow they were misdirected or didn't show up for like an hour, the whole first hour. Well, I only had these guys for like 3 or 4 hours. So they barely got the furniture packed in the truck. And there was tons of stuff that did not make it on the truck the first time through. And they unloaded the truck and they said, well, that's all the time we've got allocated. We've got other projects.
Oh, come
on
now.
Yeah. Like they no longer had enough time to move and put the second load in the truck.
Mm-mm. No.
And so one of the guys, and did I mention it was about 95 degrees that day, just a particularly hot, humid summer day in June. And so anyways, what am I going to do? And, you know, my wife still got a handful with these two toddler-age kids at the time. So as much as she may have wanted to be help, she wasn't going to be the one. And I, long since prideful crudy and short on friends, I've moved beyond the point of inviting friends to help me move. I've just learned my lessons through being invited too many times myself. Big guy, strong back. Hey, crudy will help. I've helped many, many times. But anyways, that day, I had to pay the one kid cash, and I think I had to go rent a U-Haul, and he and one of the guys working side hustle style that night in the dark loaded up the rest of the stuff. And over the course of that day, I lost, and I'm not a skinny guy, but I lost about 10 pounds.
It's a ton of work. I was only half joking when I said I'm sort of over it. It's a ton of work. It burns you out. Moving every more than every 2 years would be ideal, right? There was a period where my wife and I would move, I don't know, about every 2 years. And that seems like a good chunk of time, but I was over it. Just done with it.
You know, at least I've never done the cross-country move.
Exactly.
I have with my mom. We didn't, when I was a kid, we did a cross-country move in the U-Haul, went across the Appalachian Mountains and moved to North Carolina. But I've never done that to my family. But I understand a few people have moved cross-country and then the movers take their life's possessions hostage. I'd be curious. Got a few political headlines. Got a fine guest coming at 4:30. John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times locally. But what's the worst moving experience you've ever had? 844-967-2789. See if John wants to talk headlines or worst move ever, John. Which is it? Welcome, John, from Boaz.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the last time I moved was the worst because, you know, the cause and effect.
Yeah.
of psychology. Well, my house burned down.
Oh, no, John.
So I had to move. I had no choice. You know, I lived in the tent city for about 2 months. That was it.
Wow.
So I bought the good old Boaz feed mill, and I'm turning it into a nice shop for all my toys. Do you know anybody wants to buy a tugboat?
A tugboat? Is it seaworthy, John? Yeah.
You bet. Guaranteed, just like the Titanic. Unsinkable.
You know the best 2 days of owning a boat? You know, the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
You know, I was thinking that there's only three things about moving.
Yes, sir.
The worst three things for a woman's lifetime is getting a divorce, a death in the family, or moving.
Certainly amongst the most stressful days, and can be amongst, you know, things like losing a family member. Yeah, moving can be very stressful. I remember when I was a kid, John, it was tough. Last question for you, quick, buddy. So is this tugboat any navigable body of water? Could it be moved? Because, you know, I'm down for strange and unusual trades, John. Would you take a train for it?
I'll take you out and show you the ropes on a calm day.
Which body of water, John?
Well, I'm looking at Governor's State Park or Redstone up in... Redstone is way up in Sauk County.
Well, John, I'm sorry to cut you short, my friend. I was going to say, John, you, sir, might be more serious about this tugboat adventure than I. But if we could drag Dom along, maybe we could partner in this endeavor. We could. What would you do with the tugboat, though? You know what I mean? Like, do you move other boats? Do you try to do commercial ventures?
Yeah, yeah.
Because tugboats are slow. You can't go out and take them fishing or something, right? Can't water ski behind a tugboat, presumably. Maybe I'm wrong. A couple of outboards on the back, just big old Evan Roods, let her rip. Ebone, one of the political headlines of the day, and you know, if you'd like to talk politics, between here and John Nichols coming at 4:30 Central Time, and John's big headline of the day, effectively Scott Walker, the biggest loser of the spring elective cycle. But perhaps our friends to the south, the Windy City, got the DNC for 2024. And some of you are new friends. You haven't known the Devil's Advocates forever. But we did a lot of lobbying and advocating for the DNC to come to Milwaukee in 2020.
Talked about it many times. Yeah.
I mean, we had Tom Perez, the former DNC chairman. Tom Perez was a Milwaukee boy. Not only did he get married on Brady Street, the guy honeymooned, you know, he did the rehearsal dinner, he did the bachelor party, they did the old style wedding, and most of it was Brady Street, where we had our very first little radio station. I remember moving into that place. Today went a little smoother, I gotta tell you. You know, professional movers. I hardly sore at all. I will be tomorrow, though, I suspect. Come back with us. Chicago, the recipient of the Democratic National Convention 2024, partying a little south of us. You know, I hate to go to Chicago. No, that's not true. I like to party in Chicago. Just don't like the football team there much. Did I mention the Bears? Bears still suck. Dom's gone. You can be part of this big show today in his absence. He's a European vacationing. He'll be back next week. I'll be back after this short break. You'll stick around the whole time and join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. Hot political takes coming soon.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Cardall put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, don't use me as your political prop.
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump. That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Slight chance for scattered rain showers overnight, otherwise mainly clear. Lows level off around 57. Southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 79. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Clear skies. Tomorrow night, lows around 55. Upper 70s Thursday, mid-70s Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom!
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Tuesday edition. Your calls, welcome here, 844-967-2789. Mad Radio Moving Day. Civic Media Moving Day. We've been growing this little enterprise, and we've, you know, been sticking 10 pounds of you-know-what in a five-pound bag. And today, the seams burst, and we moved our operations up to State Street. And it was a pretty compact, pretty efficient move. We've still got some of the broadcast operations here on the University Ave studios. So, you know, we didn't move every last item, which probably saved us a couple hours. But we moved the vast majority of our operations so we can get our efficient, warm, fuzzy blanket of truth network going uptown. And I'm just curious. If anyone's had a disastrous moving day, you know, I had one bad one, just sweated my you-know-whats off and lost like 10 pounds. Probably good for me. You know, I needed to lose the 10 pounds. But anyways, that, and here's a political headline, or at least an opinion piece. Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times. Shunning federal funds is killing rural hospitals. And this could be the case to disastrous ends here in the state of Wisconsin. I want to read some from this opinion piece. Our friend John Nichols from the Cap Times coming soon. While everyone was focused on this past week's elections and their aftermath, interesting information about Medicaid, the nation's health care program for the poor, went largely unnoticed. Oh, I noticed. The New York Times ran a detailed report on how Mississippi's refusal to expand Medicaid in the state is driving its already financially shaky rural hospitals out of business. Well, Scott Walker was turning us into Mississippi. I read on, though. One rural 208-bed hospital that serves the state's impoverished Delta region is down to just 13 inpatients. Its intensive care unit and maternity ward have closed due to lack of staffing. All signs, the story said, of a hospital ravaged by too many poor patients who have no health coverage. The hospital CEO resigningly said it had lost $17 million last year alone and is nearly out of its cash reserves, adding, "We're going away. It's happening." Rural hospitals are struggling all over the nation because of population declines, soaring labor costs, and a long-term shift towards outpatient care, the story said. But those problems have been magnified by a political choice in Mississippi and nine other states, all with Republican-controlled legislatures who have stubbornly refused to expand Medicaid coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Which became law more than a dozen years ago. So 40 states have done so. 10 states have refused. Which column do you think Wisconsin's in? I'm going to read more. Guess who is one of those states? No other than our own. At least if you're listening from Wisconsin. While Wisconsin's Badger Care, our name for Medicaid, is somewhat more inclusive than the other GOP-controlled states, tens of thousands of Wisconsin citizens are still left without health coverage and would otherwise be covered if the state legislature would act. By spurting expansion, Wisconsin has left already struggling rural hospitals to shoulder the added cost because they cannot legally turn away patients, insured or not. According to the Times story, states that opted against Medicaid expansion or had just recently adopted it accounted for nearly three-fourths of rural hospital closures between 2010 and 2021, according to the American Hospital Association. Fortunately, only one Wisconsin rural hospital has been forced to close during those years, but many claim to be hanging on by a thread and have had to shut down some services, forcing residents to travel long distances to get care. Meanwhile, New York Times columnist Paul Krugman reported earlier this week that there is a significant difference between, listen closely, folks, this is stark. There is a significant difference between the life expectancy in states that have accepted the Affordable Care Act's expanded Medicaid and the few remaining states that haven't. Ironically, it's been the poorest states that have refused to take the federal funds and have suffered the biggest drop in life expectancy. Mississippi, we started there, it's the worst. Wisconsin is about middle of the 50 states at 77.7 years, but my home state has seen its life expectancy drop 1.6 years between 2019 and 2020. Across the state, 1.6 years. That's a lot of prematurely dead Wisconsinites. And people who live, our neighbors to the west in Minnesota, which was one of the first to accept Medicaid expansion, they can expect to live nearly 2 years longer than people in Wisconsin do. That's on average. That makes sense because it's uninsured poor who put off seeing a doctor while those with a coverage are more likely to seek treatment. Wisconsin's legislative Republicans followed then-Governor Scott Walker's lead to spur the expansion because they believed it would signal support for so-called Obamacare, which they opposed. Wanker hated it, didn't he? Meanwhile, the state has lost out on $1.6 billion every 2 years in federal funds. 1.6 times six people. Six budgets we've been through without Medicaid expansion. $1.6 billion every 2 years in federal funds that could go to increase fees to rural hospital, solving two problems on one fell swoop. Governor Tony Evers is trying again in his budget proposal. The question is, will Wisconsin join the other 40 states or stay in bed with Mississippi? It's shameful. We are Mississippi, or at least we were under the governance of Scott Walker. Now, they've lost the governor's mansion. But the Republicans are still malfeasant because they don't care about their constituents. They don't care about the bad outcomes. People are literally dying in the state of Wisconsin without cause for lack of health insurance, which would be provided to them with federal dollars if Republicans didn't have to what? Show they oppose Obamacare? I think you've accomplished that goal. Mission accomplished. Expand Medicaid now. Come back with us. We got a fine guest joining us. He is John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times. John's headline that caught my attention. Scott Walker is the biggest loser. The most unforgivable, indefensible part of it was his failure to expand Medicaid. Tony Evers, by the way, joins the Empowered Caregiver Show on Wednesday night. Tune in tomorrow at 7. More of us with John Nichols next.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Louisville, Kentucky is remembering the five people shot and killed at a bank on Monday. Mayor Craig Greenberg counted one of them, Deanna Eckert, as a friend.
Deanna was a very kind and a very thoughtful person. She was a wonderful woman who will be missed.
A fire has broken out at a former factory that was used to store plastics and other materials in Richmond, Indiana. Hundreds of people were urged to evacuate. State Fire Marshal Steve Jones.
The smoke is definitely toxic, and so I know We've put out an evacuation or within a half mile, I believe is what it is.
A busy day ahead for President Biden in Ireland, says CBS News White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy, who's traveling with the president.
The president begins his day here with a speech marking the 25th anniversary of the peace deal struck between Catholics and Protestants. Before he left for Belfast, Mr. Biden said that keeping that peace is his main goal for this trip.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
The big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Tuesday already. I wish it were Friday, but Tuesday is good enough when you got a good, fine guest joining you, like John Nichols from The Nation and The Cap Times. John, I appreciate you filling the little shoes of Dom. He left his little shoes behind. But thanks for joining us, buddy.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you. I noticed you were playing the song Loser by Beck.
Well, we were.
The intro music.
We were. Not for you, of course, John Nichols. You're always a winner.
Well.
But your headline, I found it quite captivating. Your opinion piece at the Cap Times. Scott Walker was the biggest loser on April 4th. You know, I was just reading from Dave Zweifel's column, the shutting of federal funds killing rural hospitals. Well, Scott Walker, his governance, it was a lot about hating on Obamacare, and really it was at the expense of the people of the state of Wisconsin. John, we continue to suffer from the bad leadership of Scott Walker, do we not?
Oh, I don't know. I just took the train up to Minneapolis, and that was great.
I went to Minneapolis last weekend. I had to drive, John.
Oh, I guess it was a magical train that didn't ever come because Scott Walker cut off the money for it. But I was using the internet up north. Oh, no, he cut off the federal money for that, too. And you're right. Scott Walker, because of his rigid ideology, was literally willing to deny Wisconsinites things that they needed, like transportation, communications, and health care. So right off the bat, he's a bad guy. And then he kind of, you know, took away our labor rights, undermined our voting rights, and gave us gerrymandered maps. So on balance, not going to get the highest marks from me.
Yeah, but he brought us Foxconn, John. That worked out so well.
Almost.
John, of course, you tie Scott Walker into the electoral loss, and it was a big loss for Dan Kelly. Kelly was a Walker appointee to the court way back when Prosser retired, but he had already lost that appointment. He couldn't hold that short-term incumbency. He had already lost to Kurovsky by 163,000 votes. But, of course, Scott Walker, he was still endorsing his former appointee this round, wasn't he, John?
Oh, yeah. He was out campaigning for him. I mean, he was very, very active as a Dan Kelly backer. In fact, I think it's safe to say that Dan Kelly's success owed a lot to Scott Walker. Because Scott Walker campaigned for him personally, tweeted about he's all over social media talking about how vital it was that Dan Kelly won. And then he wrote pieces for the Washington Times, the conservative paper out in Washington, on Kelly's campaign. He was, you know, pretty much everywhere that something could be said about Kelly, he was doing it. And I think it's fair to say that Wisconsinites probably noticed that. I'm sure that helped Kelly a lot.
Well, of course, it didn't lift Kelly to electoral victory. Kelly to be a particularly contemptuous sort of man as a candidate. We knew that the last time. And, John, it seems to me that Republicans continue to embrace, I don't want to say unelectable candidates because sometimes they win, but just they're really not likable human beings, and their positions don't reflect the majority positions of the state of Wisconsin, do they?
Nope, they do not. I think, you know, look, you had a pretty pure test with the Protasiewicz versus Kelly race, right? Because Protasiewicz was very open about her positions on the issues. She said she would talk about her values, not about cases, but her values. And those values included supporting a right to choose, supporting labor rights, arguing for democracy as opposed to gerrymandered maps. I mean, she was clear on where she was at. People didn't have any question on the economic, the political issues going into the campaign. Kelly tried to play a silly game, right, and say, I don't have any opinions. But somehow, every right-wing group in Wisconsin figured out that despite the fact that he said he didn't have opinions, his opinions were probably the same as theirs. And so you had real clarity in this race, a candidate of the right, a candidate of the left, a candidate backed by the Republicans, a candidate backed by the Democrats. Both of them, at the start of the race, you know, relatively unknown, even though Kelly had run statewide, I don't think most people knew him that well. Huge amount of money spent, most expensive judicial race in the history of the state, of the nation. And what did they do? People decided by 200,000 vote margin, 11 points, that they favored Janet Protasiewicz. That's a pretty clear signal that the combination of Dan Kelly and the conservative brand just isn't working in Wisconsin. And I would point out that that's not just Madison and Milwaukee County. If Janet Protasiewicz would have won the state of Wisconsin, even if Dane County wasn't voting, right, it would have been a closer margin, but she would have won even without Dane County. So she won statewide. And the important thing to understand is that many of the counties where she won, the 27 counties that she won around the state, are places that voted for Scott Walker in the past, that voted for Donald Trump in the past. And clearly, a lot of people have started to have second thoughts. And that's not just in liberal areas or even moderate areas. If you look at places like Walworth County, and that Walworth County, historically one of the most Republican counties in the state, historically one of the most conservative counties in the state. 45% of the people voted for Janet Protasiewicz. Up in some of the suburban counties around Milwaukee, you got up to 47, 48% for Protasiewicz. And so she was winning, not just in liberal areas, but in some rather more conservative areas.
John, how much of that do you think, sir, is attributable to the Dobbs, the overturning of Roe v. Wade? And you talked about Protasiewicz, you know, making a clear case for where she stood. I'd be curious. Do you think that Justice Rebecca Dallet first set that example as a, you know, a candidate of the left, if you will? She had a primary against Tim Burns, I believe, and she came out more clearly than many candidates historically did. And I think it was a good example. And I think to a lesser degree, Karofsky followed it. And to a greater degree, I think Protasiewicz followed that example with success. John, is that, you know, they don't hide from their positions like they used to.
That's exactly right. And historically, when you ran for the Supreme Court, you kind of did a dance, right? You winked and nodded rather than actually saying things. Janet Protasiewicz, born and raised in Milwaukee, you know, I think just came out of the Milwaukee County DA's office, serving as a judge in Milwaukee County. I just think she's a little more blunt, right? A little more, you know, plain-spoken. She doesn't want to play games. And so from the start, she said, I'm going to talk about my values. I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from. If you don't like it, obviously you won't vote for me. If you do like it, you will. And what happened was that I think her values aligned very much where Wisconsin's at. Polling shows, for instance, on the issue of reproductive rights, that, you know, well into the 60s, you know, 65, 66% of Wisconsinites are basically supportive of abortion rights. And in fact, when you talk about, you know, at least a baseline support, protection for women in cases where health or other issues are involved, you get way up into the high 80s, close to the 90% support. So the right-wing stance of banning abortion, making it exceptionally hard for women to get abortions, even in very difficult circumstances, that's incredibly unpopular in Wisconsin. People don't like it. And so there she was right off the bat in a position that gave her a tremendous advantage, and I think especially with younger voters. Then, if you look at, for instance, the issue of labor rights, on labor rights, we have polling now that shows, you know, someplace in the range of, you know, high 60s, even 70% of Americans support labor rights. There's no reason to believe that Wisconsinites aren't roughly in line with that. So her stance, critical of Scott Walker's Act 10, was in touch with where Wisconsin was at. And then finally, on the issue of gerrymandering, you will not find a poll anywhere that tells you that people like gerrymandering. In fact, that's Democrats, independents, and even Republicans tell you it's a bad thing. It's bad for democracy. It's bad for representation. And so when she was criticizing gerrymandered maps, again, she's speaking directly to where the people of Wisconsin are at. So, you know, Kelly just didn't have an issue. He had nothing to work with. He went with hyper-negative, attacking Janet Protasiewicz, suggesting that somehow she was going to impose her will on the state, as if he wasn't going to do that. When in fact, what Protasiewicz is arguing was going back to a traditional balance, right, where the court, you know, heard cases, but it didn't go to extreme partisan positions as it has over the last 12 years, 15 years since conservatives took charge.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest live via phone. He is John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times. I'm reading his latest. Let me get the headline right. I like this one. Scott Walker was the biggest loser on April 4th. And John, you make reference in this piece that you wrote to the voting margins, especially in like the UW-Madison campus area. Some polling stations 10-1 advantage for Protasiewicz. But the takeaway, the postmortem, the Scott Walker takeaway was, well, of course, it's liberal college professors. They've indoctrinated our children. Something like that, right, John?
Yeah, it's a lot of indoctrination if you get to a 10-1 margin, right? But no, I mean, I don't think it was liberal indoctrination. I think it was actually a conservative court, the U.S. Supreme Court that currently sits, when they reversed their 1973 Roe v. Wade precedent, with the Dobbs decision in June of 2022, I think they sent a powerful signal that, you know, A, of course, these issues are going back to the states, but B, you know, this is up for grabs, that this question of whether women have a right to choose is going to be decided at the ballot box, at least in the short term, because the U.S. Supreme Court's not going to reverse its position. So state by state, you're going to have these battles. The evidence is from even more conservative states than Wisconsin, places like Kansas, that people are not comfortable with, you know, they're not comfortable with a ban on abortion. That's coming through in Kentucky as well. It's coming through all over the country. In Wisconsin, which is a more traditional pro-choice state, I mean, that becomes an incredibly powerful issue. And then the power is multiplied, I think, among younger people for a couple of reasons. Number one, this is a much more practical issue for younger folks because obviously they face the question of whether they have a right to choose. These are folks who might be in a position where they would need reproductive health services. Secondly, I think that there's an idealism, a sense of, you know, right and wrong. And it's quite clear that on balance, not all, of course, there are people that differ, but on balance, younger folks believe that bodily autonomy, as it's referred to, is something that ought to be protected, right? You ought to have a right to choose. And so that had a huge impact. And we talk a lot about young women, and there's no question, young women, I think we're driving a lot of this. But the fact is, I talked to young men on campuses, and they tended to share the position of support for, you know, a right to choose. And so as a result, you got these astronomical margins. I don't think it's the only issue. I think young people have other issues that they're concerned about. But you had astronomical margins in campus districts, not just in Madison, where you saw those 10-to-1 margins, but up in Eau Claire, around UWM, around other campuses around the state. So the bottom line is, I think the issue played in a big way, but it didn't play in the way Scott Walker thought. Scott Walker had this fantasy, I think, that somehow, if you just got enough information about Kelly's stance on the issues out, he would do better. I think that was exactly wrong. I think the more information that came out about where Kelly stood on the issues, the better Janet Protasiewicz did.
Well, John, of course, and we're coming to a break, John. My understanding is you're going to stick around, but Scott Walker, of course, assumes that somehow an anti-abortion stance is popular, and that if you just put the fear of God in these kids, somehow they would come to the conclusion that he's come to. John, like 30 seconds here.
Look, it's just not where the people of Wisconsin are. In fact, Scott Walker, on a host of issues, wasn't where the people of Wisconsin were. He was successful politically in a certain moment in history, I think, as a reaction to a lot of stuff going on in Washington, and frankly, with tremendous benefit from huge amounts of money coming in from the Koch brothers and other people. That doesn't play anymore because the Democrats have pretty much equal funding, and also because, on balance, what's happened over the last decade has suggested that the approach that Scott Walker took, which gave rise to the approach that Trump has taken, just isn't a very appealing approach. It doesn't have respect for democracy. It doesn't have respect for women. It doesn't have respect for labor.
John, hold that thought. More Devils.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 57
overnight.
Under clear skies, southwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Bright sunshine expected again tomorrow.
Highs around 79.
Clear skies tomorrow night.
Lows dip down to about 55.
Dry with temps well above average Thursday and Friday. And highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser.
The big and tall and of political talk. The devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest. He stuck around. He is John Nichols, our friend from the Cap Times, from the Nation. I love when John puts submissions out like the one he authored today. Scott Walker was the biggest loser on April 4th. I absolutely agree, even before I read the column. But John, let me ask you, I didn't see you specifically address it, or maybe I skimmed it too quickly, but the NRA and guns. And I've got a 19-year-old that voted this spring and has voted in a couple of elections now. My youngest will turn 18 between now and Election Day next November. I know Dominic's youngest just voted in her first race for Janet Protasiewicz. But I wonder, John, to your opinion, you've got kids. These kids are doing active shooter drills in school. Every night when they come home, if the parents have the news on, they hear about another mass shooting literally every day, John. How much do you think the issues and guns and Republicans sort of intransigence to do anything that is on the wrong side of the NRA or the Second Amendment, John?
Well, I think it is an issue. And I think that it's an interesting issue because it doesn't necessarily top the list in most polling, right? Other issues, economics, you know, rights issues, things like that tend to go higher on the polling list. But it's something that I think hovers over every race. And because there have been so many horrific mass shootings in the last, you know, few weeks, I mean, it's coming at a terrible rate. Because of that, I think people are conscious of it, and it does figure into the mix. The NRA, of course, does most of its spending in a very targeted way. They communicate directly with their members, usually through direct mail. They don't do as much TV advertising and things like that. And so as a result, they tend to be mobilizing their own folks. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if it's clear that one candidate is backed by the NRA, I think that doesn't help in the overall vote total, especially in Wisconsin. Remember, Wisconsin is a state that likes hunting, right? But the NRA has become increasingly identified in Wisconsin and nationally, not with hunting, but with the interest of the gun industry, with companies that want to sell a lot of guns, no matter what impact it has on society. And so I think that it's notable that in many counties where there's a lot of hunting, like northern Wisconsin counties, like Douglas, Bayfield, Ashland counties, those counties voted for Janet Protasiewicz by very wide margins, getting into the 60% range there. In southwestern Wisconsin, again, where there's a lot of hunting, places like Vernon County is that, they voted for Janet Protasiewicz by high margin. And so she was doing fine in areas where people own guns. And I think that's an important message that responsible gun owners, I think, increasingly are not that influenced by the NRA's messaging. And that's I think that was revealed by this election. I think it was revealed by the governor's election last year.
John Nichols, in part, Protasiewicz's campaign cast Dan Kelly through the prism of his participation in the false elector scheme and, you know, sort of the anti-democratic overtone that sort of semi-fascistic coup attempt has. But do you think they have tied the issue of democracy in with the fair maps, the gerrymandering issue here in the state of Wisconsin? It was probably behind the Dobbs decision, the second most referenced issue, I think, during the political campaign. John, it is my opinion that we don't have a one-person, one-vote sort of fair democracy when the maps are so gerrymandered in the state of Wisconsin, they clearly do not reflect the will of the voters, and therefore our legislators are completely unresponsive to the will of the voters, John. Until we solve that problem, I think every other problem is secondary, John, because you can't get to the solutions with Republican intransigence in a two-thirds majority that might start impeaching people.
Mm-hmm. Look, bottom line is that unless you have representative democracy, then it's only the courts that are going to decide issues. And obviously now we have a more liberal court, or one that will come in as a more liberal court. And that may, you know, mitigate some issues. Perhaps the reproductive rights issue will be decided by the court. It's possible that this court might toss out some of the most rigorous anti-labor legislation. It's, you know, there may be some good things that come from the court. But any kind of forward progress for society, any kind of, you know, thoughtful budgeting, you know, investment in public education, things like that, that's, you're only going to get that if you have representative democracy. And we don't have that in Wisconsin right now. In fact, national surveys show Wisconsin to be, you know, one of the least democratic states in the U.S. In fact, we're comparable to some very less than, you know, fully realized democracies around the world. When you go to vote in most of Wisconsin, what you're going to find is that, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at, it's just like a candidate, whatever. The district's going to vote. And locked in a great year, as they did in 2018, or a good year, as they did in 2020, 2022, doesn't change anything. I mean, you still end up with essentially locked in Republican majorities. Even this year, you had the Supreme Court race. You had an open turnout, to sort of say with. She did very, very well. And in District 8, where there was a special election, that district is so radically gerrymandered that you still ended up with a Republican narrowly winning it. And I think that's a reality we have to accept. I think Wisconsinites don't like it. They have every reason to dislike it. It is, it makes, you know, our you know, elections kind of ridiculous at the lower level, at least at the legislative level. And so, yeah, I think there's a motivation for a change there. If the Supreme Court, this new Supreme Court, were to take up a gerrymandering case and toss out the existing maps and either order a draw of new maps or do the draw themselves, I think that would be incredibly popular with the people of Wisconsin. I don't think they have any risk there at all.
John Nichols, have you thought through, and we're down to our last, like, 90 seconds, John, the timeline? We know there's a threatened piece of litigation coming from Fair Wisconsin? Law Forward, my bad.
Law Fair. Law Forward, yep.
So we know there is potentially a suit coming, John, that could be the vessel of trying to put this before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. If everything goes well, John, what's that look like? Mm-hmm. Would we have different maps in 2024, or is that far too optimistic from a timeline perspective?
It's not too optimistic, but it is something you have to recognize. It's a difficult thing. They have to thread a needle here. If the case comes up before August 1st, when Janet Protasiewicz is sworn in, it's very possible that the current court would grab it and then try and rule in a way that would block reform. So you got to file it after January 1st. Or I'm sorry, after August 1st, my apologies. And then, you know, hope that it moves quickly to this court, that this court will take it and frankly move in a rapid but responsible way. And this is something I want to counsel on. If they don't do it right, then they could face a federal court challenge on it. And so it's a really delicate maneuver, but it's pretty clear that the four liberal justices on this court are committed to a pro-democracy agenda and to addressing gerrymandering. So I don't rule it out. I think it would be, you know, kind of like everything has to go right for this to have new maps for the 2024 election. Remember, they would have to be in place by April of 2024 when the petitioning begins to get on the ballot. So that's a challenge, but not beyond the realm of possibility.
John Nichols, always appreciate when you come around. Final 30 seconds, John. Will I see you at the DNC in Chicago in 2024, sir? Will we?
Absolutely. Come on. Chicago's a great town for a convention. And and they got a great new mayor. So, I mean, everything seems to be headed in the right direction for Chicago.
Well, Milwaukee's got a great new mayor, too, John.
will we see each other in Milwaukee is the bigger question.
We will. Or Devil.
If you're living with chronic pain and have yet to find relief, Select Pain Care of Milwaukee may be able to help. Select Pain Care specializes in helping those that have had their pain for more than 6 months and have tried three or more healthcare providers with minimal relief. Find out if Select Pain Care can help you. Call 414-939-5045. That's 414-939-5045. Or log on at selectpaincare.com.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.